Hello everyone, welcome again for SAP on Public Cloud video podcast. Thanks for joining us today. Today we are going to have our first strategic session on SAP on Public Cloud track. With me we have our host Hans, who is has got 25 plus years of rich experience in transforming business, not just from the infrastructure side but real business side. We have Hans here. Hans, go ahead, you can introduce yourself.
Thank you, Prakash. Yeah, we go back a couple of years. Today we're going to talk about some of the experiences I've had in helping businesses transform. SAP will be center stage. Your product suite will be center stage, but we'll be approaching the theme from a business point of view, right? We'll be approaching the theme of how businesses survive in this year compared to perhaps 5 or maybe 7 years ago. And what are the challenges as a business leader in order to survive and compete? We'll talk about that in this podcast. And it's a pleasure to see you again, Prakash. It's an honor to be on your podcast, the platform.
Thank you, Hans. So let's get started. So Hans, go ahead and give us a brief in terms of the digital transformation or the cloud transformation that you did for the health technology leader who is also headquartered in the Netherlands. So how did you start about it? What were the thought process 5 years ago, 6 years ago? You were one of the early bird who really made the decision saying, let's go. This is the direction we want to go. But it is nowadays it's becoming easy. But those days, everybody was really mostly, watching, who was going to go first in this space. But how did you, make that kind of strategic decision well ahead of others? How did you start about it? What were the challenges that you had?
For sure. Let me also say that what I'm about to say isn't specific to any vertical. It's not specific to any sector. It's not specific to any industry. I think it applies everywhere. But let's talk about healthcare for a second, right? Healthcare, if you think about it, and let me give you a little bit of background on today's situation of the worldwide healthcare industry, because that's what it is. Just an example out today, the government has introduced their plans here in the Netherlands, which is where we're recording this podcast, their plans for the next 5 to 8 years of healthcare spend. And you can clearly see the challenge that national governments have. Consumption of healthcare is going up. But the budget envelope is tightening everywhere. And so how do national governments survive that? How do they cope with that? At the same time, the healthcare industry is also, if you like, a front runner in adopting and applying digital technology in order to make it more scalable, because and I'm not going to make many new friends, but let me say this. Traditional healthcare isn't very scalable. If you think about it, a doctor 100 years would see 20 to 30 patients a year. In 2021, it's still 20 to 30 patients a year, except the costs have gone up, tens of times. And costs of healthcare go up even higher, when you relate it to consumer price index, for example. The costs go up because we can cure more diseases. We live longer. A solution needs to be found. And one of the solutions to the ever rising costs is to make healthcare more scalable. And that's where digital technology, makes an introduction, and companies that find themselves in healthcare understand that they have a role to play. So if you're a company that has been making healthcare hardware for a very long time and you're very good at it, and your brand is a prestigious brand, right? Hospitals and institutions use your equipment all over the world. There comes a point where you realize that actually processing of the data that comes out of that equipment becomes as important as to what that equipment does. And therefore, data centricity all of a sudden takes a leap forward. Digital transformation avant la lettre, if you like, then needs to start, and it needs to start at huge speed. So when I get to this company with over 100 data centers on-prem, 5,000 applications, a traditional IT landscape, the natural question is, and this is a question that we get asked all the time, and every CIO asks themselves the question, how can we speed up? How do we do that? And that's where my journey started in digital transformation at Prakash.
But why, you know, I know that, you know, we spoke 4 years ago that when we were talking about SAP, moving SAP, right? So why SAP, you know, other companies, the way they do it, they move small things here and there, and then finally they treat SAP as like, you know, it's not really going to go into cloud as a first workload to get in. Right, most of the time they start with the other side of the peripheral systems around SAP to move into cloud as a first workload to go in. But you did it, I think, in the reverse manner, right? You started with the center stage, and you started moving SAP as a first workload to get in, and then the everything around started moving along with that. So, you know, why did you do that?
For multiple reasons, from a business perspective, because you need to have a view whether your strategy will work. So you must have a playbook for the hardest things. And this was we consider this to be some of the toughest challenges to face. Second, and this is slightly more technical. When you consider, you know, your SAP strategy, there comes a time where you bring in HANA, right? There comes a time where you start thinking about S4 and HANA, and the size of kernels that we were looking at. And you must also bear in mind that this plays 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
At that time, it was very much the question whether public cloud would be able to support kernels of that size.
Yeah.
So we had to make sure that whatever it is that our strategy was, it was going to work, and that there would be a future commercial support. That's why I decided to make sure that SAP would work, and it would work in the cloud, because if it didn't, we would have to adopt a different strategy.
Yeah, and when you made the decision, as you rightly said, at that time the maximum limit was somewhere around 256 GB. That was the maximum limit that we had for HANA. But as of today, you know, we see like 11 terabyte machines, 12 terabyte machines, virtual machines that can be placed in the, for example, in Azure, for example, right? So that
exactly
absolutely you're spot on.
And so 256 or even I'd seen posters for 1 terabyte. That was not nearly enough for what I was looking for in the end.
Mm.
So we've worked with public cloud providers. We understood where their roadmap was, and naturally taken decision then to go all in. We were going to go and bring our SAP into the cloud, because let's face it, Prakash, right? We are not going to change what it is that SAP and the suite of their products are going to release in terms of their products. Their products is what we buy. It's what we need. It's what we gotta run our business
with. Yeah.
That's fine. That's great. It's your business. It's part of mine. So if you can't change that variable, what are the other variables that you can choose in order for, the data that you collect, the data that you process, to become part of your data-driven strategy, your data-centric strategy, and for that to happen faster, for that threshold to access that data to become simpler, and also importantly, let's not forget this, for that data to become available at a lower cost point, right? data transaction in SAP is at a certain cost point. But if you want to do a real-time around-the-clock data crunching and analytics, play around with it, and then throw it away, you need to, you know, the game is going to change. And I wanted to make sure that we were playing that game right from the get-go.
Yeah.
And we were playing it hard and fast.
Because the entire data set, at least the major or the most important data set that sits in the SAP stack. And if you're not able to get it out, and although you're getting it out from the other side of the applications, if you don't get the SAP data into cloud, then it doesn't really make sense, right? So.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, if we refocus a little bit on healthcare, we'll come back to SAP in a second. You know, the future of healthcare is around making it a much more scalable industry. If you compare healthcare to a lot of other industries, it hasn't scaled as much. And if you can just project and extrapolate on what the future consumption will bring, you know that something's going to have to give. So, for example, if we, using digital technologies, could figure out a way where we could, in an earlier stage, predict and find a nasty disease, a nasty tumor, and we could then operate, or I wouldn't even use the word operate, we could actually heal it using non-invasive technologies, it would be cleaner, it would be shorter, it would be cheaper, it would have significantly less impact, right? And people would be healthy sooner, would be in a recovery stage much, much sooner. Now, that is entirely possible. I'm not a doctor, but I'm an IT expert, and what is possible is that we can bring the data together of all layers of all platforms, and we can do it faster and quicker. You can actually move the needle, and that's what I wanted and needed to do, and at the same time bring the cost down. Because if I bring the cost down of my ERP transaction and ERP farm altogether, I could spend that money in making exactly that.
Yeah. So going back to your original thing, right? When the things are going in slow pace, and you know, we need to have the scalability or flexibility. That is also one of the most important challenge that we had seen in the on-prem world. So I can tell you an example. I mean, the same example. So I don't know how they handled it. For example, the peak season for you know, like 2 years or 3 years ago before moving into cloud. But this year, after moving into cloud, to be able to prepare for the peak season, so we had a clear data set in terms of, you know, where my system is. I mean, I'm talking about from the technical front, you know, how is my system performing, where exactly I need to be ready to be able to handle my peak load, which is coming in, for example, Thanksgiving weekend or the Christmas period, right? So we were able to quickly make it and quickly make a decision, easily switch to the higher hardware. And even when there was a situation that, you know, the system went down because it was not able to handle it, quickly we were able to, you know, bring it up and then scale it up. You know, if that was like a 128 GB RAM, then we were able to go to 256 GB RAM just with the click of a button. That was not possible in the on.
But I think you're bringing forward an interesting topic, right? Because that's a generic benefit of going to flexible virtual as a service kind of infrastructure, right? And obviously that then applies to most of the SAP products, even though they're monolithic. It's fantastic to be able to do that, right? You shut your host down, start up a different host, and all of a sudden you've got more memory, bigger disk, a bigger CPU, or all of them at the same time. But there's another aspect I think that's really important here to bring out, right? Companies are transforming. It means they go from one older, perhaps older version of one of SAP products to a newer one. They go from on-prem to cloud. And in every transformation, there's downtime. It's inevitable, right? There's no magic here. So you got to move from one part to the other, right? And this was another big challenge. If there is a lot of SAP to move to cloud, and many IT leaders will recognize this. They will be familiar with this. You're going to look at a lot of weekends to move your data around and to test that your data has actually arrived in the same way that was in the source system, right? And to test, et cetera, et cetera. So when I was plotting out all the weekends that were going to be required to move all of that data, all of that structure around, I was looking at years and years of outages every weekend. And this is where we got to meet, because you had developed a code that set exactly in my brain at the right time with the right kind of functionality, right? Your code, your product, your capability allowed us to move from one host, be it on-prem, be it older version, to a new host. Instead of hours and days, it could virtually be done in minutes. That's perhaps slightly exaggerating the point, but that's possible in theory. And to me, that was a true breakthrough. There are many companies who've who've looked at that kind of migration, but your company has truly helped move significant amount of data sets around, converting as we move sometimes.
Yeah.
From one database to a new database format, because it's no longer supported when you move to the public cloud. So I think that's critical, and companies need to understand that, of course, you need to do upgrades, you need to do you have downtime, but the shorter your downtime moments, the longer the times where your system can actually make money for you or progress and compete against your competitor. It's critically important that CIOs start to focus on this.
Yeah, that is one aspect that I also miss out, you know, when it is not only on the, you know, it is not only on the product, you know, on the digital transformation that is happening, on the technology, you know, the infrastructure transformation is happening. I'm also thinking that people transformation should also happen, you know, traditionally, as you can see, you know, as of today, if we go for any large companies, you know, the kind of workforce that we get is, you know, it is always horizontal based. You know, you have a cloud engineers, you have the infrastructure engineers, you have the database engineers, you have the SAP engineers, you have the data. You know, if you have to manage the SAP stack on public cloud, if you have these many people around you, you know, a simple project becomes much more a complex project, right? So that transformation also need to happen. It has not happened yet, if you ask me. Even now we are implementing you know, our product in one of the largest brewer in the world. But I, you know, there also I see that, you know, there is a clear distinction between cloud team. They are responsible for this. SAP team, you are responsible for this. If I have my automation, I will do. If you want to do automation, you do it by yourself. You find a way, right? So that is something still happening. How do you see that, you know, Hans, from your point of view?
I think that the people side of this transformation is we haven't seen the end of it yet, and it's an interesting phenomenon, Prakash. Let's not forget that in the industry in which we operate, right, and the people that be watching this podcast will most likely be from within the same industry, within the IT industry. The IT industry started to become publicly visible probably late 80s, early 90s with the advent of personal computers. And what it provided then mostly was some form of file management and central print management and perhaps primitive ways to email within one domain. And managing that IT was typically a task of someone to do on the side. IT has grown in terms of its complexity, and so have IT departments grown in their complexity. And what IT departments tend to do is to avoid risk.
Yeah.
Is to avoid risk because in that old perspective of, you know, you provide a critical facility to the business, we believe that uptime is the most important thing that you provide. And that's wrong. Uptime is a hygiene factor, right? It's like electricity. the most important thing that people now find with electricity is no longer that it's there. It's, of course it's there. We all, but tremendous amount of effort needs to be taken to make sure it's always there. What people now base their decision on is whether it's green, and whether, you know, where does the electricity come from, and can I provide electricity back to the grid from my solar panels? And that kind of thing. Can I charge my battery-powered car using my solar power cell? And how do you charge back the amount of electricity that I generate with the solar panels on my property? So I believe the same thing is happening with IT. It's no longer just a facility that's there and needs to be up, and therefore the people factor needs to be geared around risk avoiding.
Yeah.
IT has become part of the product, and so therefore it risk taking is now part of your portfolio. You need to take risk because that's how we do business.
Yeah.
A business doesn't grow by not taking business. And since IT is part of the business proposition, it needs to start to take more risk. And I think that's the major shift in the type of people that we're going to see in IT. Right now, as you say, it's mostly horizontal. Someone has a bit of architecture, someone has a bit of cloud, someone has a bit of security, and it waterfalls down. And if it needs to go faster, we ask them to work harder.
Yeah.
But I think the big shift in people is going to be, it will be more business-minded people who will take building blocks of IT components, glue them together, and make it work to generate cash for the business. And I believe that the type of individual as part of IT will no longer be an IT scientist. It will be a business master, a business scientist, if you like, who uses building blocks of IT to create a product or enhance a product with IT components. And he will use parts of cloud, he will take SAP data that his product will crunch out, and he doesn't need 100 IT people to build it anymore. All he needs is a rubber stamp to say, fine, can I go or don't go? And that's I think where the future challenge also will become, because the hyperscalers are taking away most of talents in the market that are there. They're simply not enough.
Yeah.
And so if you want to diversify, if you're that CIO who wants to diversify in terms of staff, stop hiring IT people. Start hiring business people who have an IT mindset. I've said it in many speeches before. It's what I did before in my previous role at Philips, where you have to realize and come to the conclusion that if you want to hire IT educated people, people who've got an academic study in IT, that's great if your product suite is hardcore IT. It's designing computers, but it isn't. Your product is in healthcare. Your product is in food. Your product is in consumer packaged goods. You need people who are very good at that and can use IT building blocks to make your products faster, cheaper, and also don't forget, Prakash, the route from a product concept, right? So if you're a product designer, you got an idea. And if you're in traditional linear horizontal computing, but you want to make it a connected product, you want digital components to be put in, it can take up to a year from the product concept to the point where it starts generating cash. I've seen huge amounts of examples in that. What if that product designer and that product manager would no longer need IT people to make his product still as awesome as it is in its idea, but use IT components by just taking the building blocks from whatever it is that they need, and they'll be available at their fingertips. To me, that's what the future of IT is going to be, and that will have its effect on the people associated with it.
And it's not just the, you know, moving to the public cloud. You also took a bold decision of, you know, not just I'll not go alone, you know, with some large IT provider. You also took a decision that, you know, let's combine the large IT provider, IT service provider, and a small startup scale up, combine them together, bring the power of, you know, both of these energies together, you know, which brought you the success. So again, you know, that process, how did you get that kind of thought process?
So next to the people process, which we just spoke about, thanks Prakash for pointing that out. I believe this is my experience, and I'm speaking from my experience, and I'm not suggesting there is only my truth.
Yeah.
But my experience and my truth has been for a long time that you're going to need a major transformation. You're going to need a partner that in doing that transformation is able to carry the liability as part, you know, of your IT portfolio, right? As we said it before, IT is part of your product. If it doesn't work, the company can go bankrupt. So your partner needs to be able to carry that financial liability. And that typically means it's a big company.
Yeah.
Bigger companies, as we found out, tend to have trouble is not the right word, but it takes longer for them to adopt and to apply.
Their structure is, you know, I've been in the bigger
and company. Their structure is different, right? So what we tried is we tried a mix where a smaller company, from places like Israel, Silicon Valley, Amsterdam, India, come up with great ideas that hadn't been adopted by bigger companies, but would be honored and privileged to work shoulder to shoulder and side by side. And this has eventually turned up a partner ecosystem or multiple partner ecosystems where 1 + 1 = 3, right? We use the power of one to compensate for the weakness of the other and vice versa. And in the end, it helps everyone, not just a client, not just partner A or partner B, everyone, because it gets there faster. It gets there in better shape. I believe that partner ecosystems for the foreseeable future, for the next years to come, will start to see many more smaller companies as part of a mix with bigger established companies, and they cannot do it without the other, right? I'm not saying either or. I'm saying consider this mix of companies into your ecosystem. And this is, if now that I'm here, Prakash, I hope you don't mind. This is what my company does now, is to help you establish those partner ecosystems.
Yeah. So that's the decision. That is how it helped our company as well to be able to, you know, get into that ecosystem and help other partners and the customers to get the value, you know, like you said, you know, 1 + 1 = 3. And same, like you said, you know, this is going to be the foreseeable future. Now, as of today, we are doing the same structure for one of the largest Indian, cloud transformation, where there is a large party who is already providing the service, and we have joined them as a value partner. And now, you know, we are able to move much faster than, you know, if they had to do it by themselves. I absolutely agree on that.
I think Prakash, what I'm going to do is I think we're going to leave it here for our first podcast, but not before we say to the people that were listening or watching, or both, to say we'll be repeating this with other speakers, the central theme will definitely be digital transformation with SAP as a center stage part of that equation. But other speakers with a different point of view, and we'll also be looking at technology. We'll be looking at strategy. We'll be looking at architecture, and I really look forward to be part of some of those, Prakash.
Yeah, I am also looking forward to, you know, continue this strategic track. I'm also expecting a few other guests to join us, and make this much more interesting, Hans. Good. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Hans, for your time. It's been a pleasure meeting you and getting your experience. I'm sure it will help the audience who is watching this video will be able to, you know, give some directions in terms of, you know, how his journey has been when it comes to digital transformation, especially on, you know, SAP on public cloud. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for watching. Take care. Speak soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.